Okay, well, welcome to another episode of the podcast that everyone should be listening to both generate alpha, that's return, Jimmy, in the market, and protect your downside. So, in other words, welcome to the latest episode of The Odd Couple of Investing. I'm Steve Weiss, and I'm sitting here, not quite here. He's in another location. Clearly, you can tell from the decor. Mr. Back again to all in again, James Labenthal. Jimmy, I'm going to let you kick it off because I know you're anxious. You're very anxious. So go ahead before you jump out of your seat.
Well, now I got to think about that, Steve. Am I anxious? Is it because of I've got the sloth, the long-term investor that's represented by the sloth over my shoulder? Or is it because I'm talking to you, the hyper-frenetic trader, as perhaps represented by the racehorses over both of my shoulders? No, I think the reason I'm anxious, and that's too strong of a word to be honest, is that this is a difficult market to navigate. I continue to believe that we're in a correction, not something worse. That for it to be something worse, you'd have to have a recession here in the United States. Now, I want to take a second here, Steve, and point out the definition of a recession is two quarters of broad-based economic decline. We might have a slowdown here. In fact, we're likely to have a pretty big slowdown because of commodity prices. But a recession, one that lasts two quarters? I don't think so. Not with the amount of factory building, supply chain onshoring, infrastructure spending going on. So accordingly, this downturn, the groundwork for which was laid by the Fed and the match to which was struck by Russia, this correction is likely to run its course over the next week or two, and by the end of the quarter, we'll be coming out of it. So Steve, nutshell here, I raised cash at the beginning of this quarter. I've been putting it back to work at the last few weeks here. I've been buying new position in a financial like JP Morgan, bought a new position in NVIDIA today, Steve. I don't know if you heard that. I went on the show. You weren't on. You may not have heard that, but NVIDIA's in the mix now.
I thought it was Ladies' Day today. Oh, that's right. You were on. Sorry. Jim, let me ask a quick question before
Hang on. Let me finish the thought before you do that.
I want to help you with your thought, but go ahead.
Hang on there, Hoss. Also added to Wynn and Paramount in the last few weeks. So here's me in a nutshell. I'm back to all in, as you alluded to. Okay, Steve. Have
so
fun.
So what do you have to see? I mean, you keep talking about a couple more weeks to the correction. And is it just time? Is it level? Is it action? Does the war in Ukraine have to be over regardless of who wins?
It has to reach an equilibrium. Let me stop you there because that's the sine qua non right now. Okay. We're not going to get good returns in the market if the war worsens. So the thesis here is simply that the war will reach some equilibrium. That equilibrium is unlikely, in my opinion, to include attacking NATO or taking this to World War III. Side note, but pretty important side note, if you've been betting in the stock market on World War III for the last 70 years, you've missed out on gargantuan returns. In fact, you haven't gotten any
Nobody's
returns at all.
Nobody's bet on World War III in the market in
Well,
the last
but the people,
years.
Steve, the First people, of all, 70 Steve, years right ago, now who are saying stay out. Hang on, let me finish. The people right now who are saying stay out of the market or get out of the market are the people who are betting on World War III. They're going to be wrong. You're going to reach equilibrium in the next week or two in Russia, Ukraine. And from there, the markets go higher because of economic activity.
First of all, simple math lesson for you. And I'm going to do it in English because most of our listeners are English speaking, so not use foreign words like equilibrium or sine qua non. That was a little bit of a joke. If you've been betting on World War III for the last 70 years, then you were sort of betting that we'd skip the war that came after World War I, which was World War II. So I know you didn't mean that literally, but I can't resist an opportunity to pick on you. I don't think that the world's betting on World War III. I know I'm not, and I've been in, let me put it this way, 30% net long, because to say cash, which I do just for shorthand, is incorrect since I have a number of hedges on, which, by the way, I took off this morning. I intend to put them back on as we get to the market close, or maybe in the aftermarket. But the issue that I have with the market and had with the market existed before, frankly, Russia invaded the Ukraine. And when you talk about equilibrium, that's a big word, but what does it mean, Jimmy? Yeah, if you don't get World War III, but the battle's still raging, oil prices are still going up, do you extend your two-week time frame? And if the Fed doesn't come out and say, as a lot of people expect now, as we've seen the futures forecast, that Powell goes with 25 bips and said, hey, we're going to wait and see what impact the war has on the global economy, and give a go slow approach. A lot of people are betting on that. I'm not particularly betting on it, but it wouldn't surprise me if it happened. So just, again, give me the benchmarks, the milestones you need. You're already all in, so I don't know that it matters, but to see this correction end.
I've got it in the valuations. I think what you're expecting from me, and this is a common fallacy, is that because today I bought NVIDIA, that means by this afternoon it's going to be higher and never look back. I can't do that. Nobody can pick the bottom. No. What I can tell you is that the cash that I raised in the first week of January, I've been looking for opportunities to put that to work. And whether it's the valuation of NVIDIA or JP Morgan last week or Wynn or Paramount, those valuations were too tempting. Now, Steve, let me be very clear about this. Unlike you, I might just be wrong. You're never wrong.
Thank
you. We all know that. But unlike you, I might be wrong.
So what does
being wrong look like? It means that what I expect, which is a spring rally that goes through June, maybe a little further, but then the midterm elections loom, maybe that rally doesn't materialize. Maybe I've got to wait till the fall. I can do that. I've got high quality companies that I just purchased. I feel very good about the businesses underlying. I feel great about the prices at which I bought them. I do expect, now just back to your specific question about what does equilibrium look like? I don't know at this point in time. It could be that Ukraine kicks Russia's ass. It could be that Ukraine gets absolutely demolished. I hate that idea, by the way, the latter. I hate it. I hate what's happening to Ukraine. The bloodshed is killing me. But one way or the other, the amount of hostility, the level of hostility is not likely to be the level of hostility 1 week or 2 weeks from now. It's just not likely. For one thing, the Russians are going to run out of men. They're going to run out of tanks. They're going to run out of missiles. We can just stop there. But if you think that we're going to be in the degree of pessimism and negativity that we're in right now, 2 weeks from now, I just strongly disagree.
Well, on a day like today, where the advanced decline line is, I guess, I'll tell you what it is right now. It's about 50-50. Want to confirm that? Yeah, and it's a 60-40. I take that back. I'd say there's more optimism out here. There's some buying in this rally. Again, I don't know that it'll hold. Yesterday, I sort of think we were getting close to a bottom and was thinking about putting some money to work and actually did put a little money to work. That's a news flash for you. I bought FedEx.
Steve?
I bought
FedEx.
Okay. So when FedEx got down close to $200, I thought I'd start nibbling at it. So I bought some FedEx. I bought a little GXO and a little XPO. GXO just in the last couple of weeks. And I happened to be on the phone with senior management yesterday, and they didn't tell me anything that they shouldn't tell me because of Reg FD. But they said nothing's really changed since our conference call, which was just a few weeks ago, which is a phenomenal quarter and drove the stock over $80 a share. So I did step up to that, but I do have concerns. And my concerns are the consumer. And I just think that the consumer is going to have a very, very tough time, continue to have a tough time. And it's only gotten worse. You can't ignore the impact on the economy of where energy prices are. And I do think, as you said, that there's going to be a slowdown. I don't know if it's a recession. Again, you don't need these absolute events to occur. All you need is directionally to start moving towards there. And as we're talking, I did put it back on some hedges. I just don't think these markets hold. There's still too much of an uncertainty. And you're betting on a psycho to not make things worse. Now, I don't know if he can, but the saber rattling's going to be the issue. So just to sum it up, I've still got China out there, which China continues to talk about going after Taiwan. The U.S. better not get involved. This is not a normal geopolitical conflict that we're seeing with Russia. This is not a flare-up in the Middle East where oil prices spike for a day or an afternoon, and then they come back down to earth. This is an economic world war. It's not World War III. We're not going to see nukes being launched, hopefully, but it is an economic world war. And we do not have the same leverage with China, because they are our primary debt holder, number one. Number two, we have too many businesses there. Number three, we rely on that part of the world way, way too much. So the world, productivity, technology, manufacturing would come to a virtual standstill if we have the same issues with China. And China knows that. So we're limited in terms of what we can do over there. And frankly, if they co-op, it'll be a terrible human tragedy. if they do make a move on Taiwan and if they do take Taiwan back, although they don't think they've ever taken it. But I just don't see us being able to get in the way of that, as sad as that sounds.
Steve, I told you last week that I felt I had 2 weeks to get you optimistic, to get you upbeat. Clearly, it's too late. It's too much of a lost cause. You fully turned to the dark side. Now, why do I say that? China, if anything, is looking at what's happening to Russia and saying, no way, we want no part of this. We're not going to go into Taiwan, where we might get our asses kicked and get further ostracized by the rest of the world. That's not what the tea leaves are reading here. This has been a deterrent to China. As far as Russia and this being economic World War III, no, you're just too pessimistic. I got to hang out with you more, get you upbeat. Spring's coming.
No, you don't.
Russia is going to turn into Venezuela at the rate it's going. Now, the problem there is that it has nuclear arms, but this is not going to be run by the same guy as the economy goes down the tubes the way Venezuela's has. And that's the rate that they're going.
Jimmy, look, the reality is that I've been more than right that in the last week, last 2 weeks, the markets continued to hit new lows virtually every single day. And being cautious, being pessimistic has been the right place to be. And I just don't see the market running away from me here. I believe I will get significant opportunity to invest and pick my shots. The market's irrational. It doesn't mean that I have to try to take advantage of that irrationality when it's going to continue to be irrational. My biggest concern is protecting my capital, not trying to catch the bottom, which, like it or not, if you're putting money into the market now, you're operating in the belief that it may not be the very absolute bottom, but that the worst is behind us. That may be true, but I don't believe the best is yet to come just yet with that out there. China is giving interviews. They are having their ministers, the senior people of their populace, of their government, come out and say, United States, Taiwan is our territory. You better not interfere. You better not put an Asia-Pac NATO together, or it's going to be trouble. What this has taught China is that you've got Russia, which the U.S. can embargo the oil or not import oil, not export things. All our businesses there, McDonald's today, Starbucks today said, hey, no mas, we're not doing business there. That's fine. But what is killing us are the commodity prices that are being driven up there. Can you imagine if the same thing happened with chips? There is no appetite for that. And that's what China's watching. And then we've got that other psycho. The only way he stands apart from Putin, and I tweeted this, is by his haircut, his clothes, and his waistline. And I'm talking about North Korea. So they can muddy things. Don't forget they're partners with China, and fire missiles and get it more aggravated. So that's the downside. In terms of the upside, yeah, the market gets used to these valuations and doesn't think anything else is coming or going wrong. So, hey, so let's go in and buy. Let's be all in. I'm not all in. I'm taking a wait and see. I will cherry pick ideas like I did with FedEx, which has never been this cheap, frankly. Dick's Sporting Goods, but look at that. Dick's has performed exactly as they said they would. The stock was 140. They did a great job in the quarter today. Numbers came out. The stock's up 3.5% at 103. So the mistake I made was holding on to it at this point because I'm really worried about the consumer. I did shave my position somewhat, but mistake not selling all of it higher.
Steve, what I think I hear you saying, and I'm okay with this, I think what I hear you saying is you want proof. You want to see it in the market before you invest. Pretty sure that's what you're saying. I'm okay with that. That's fine. You're going to pay a little bit for the certainty, but I've done that before. Right now, and you know very well what my stance is, I'm a long-term investor. I'm looking at these prices for the stocks that I've purchased, and I say, I'm very happy with these. Could they get cheaper? Sure, they could get cheaper. By the way, Steve, the low on the market was February 24th, so that was 2 weeks ago. However, the point being is that you want certainty, you may pay a few points for that. I'm not going to give you a hard time about it. You'll get back in.
I don't want what certainty. You know what I want? I want people like you and every other strategist to say, hey, maybe I should be a little negative here. Nobody said it.
I was negative. I was negative at the beginning of the quarter, Steve.
When you're in 10% cash, it's not negative. It's like a mosquito bite.
Oh, come on. You know, for me, that's a big move.
But to me, you were negative while you're saying, hey, I'll be back.
You're darn right. You know why? You know why, Steve? Because you want to know the most foolish bet out there is to be short the market. It just is. The market goes up over time. Hey, you know what? Maybe this year will
be short the market on a long-term basis.
Seriously. Yeah, exactly. I may be wrong. You may have 9 more months of rubbing it in my face. Let's see if he smiles at that, folks. He did. He smiled. You may have 9 more months of rubbing it in my face. I might be wrong for a period of time, but I'm not going to be wrong forever. And in fact, I don't think I am going to be wrong. I think by the time we're doing this a month from now, April, it's going to feel a lot better. Right now, listen, I'm not going to lie to you, Steve. It feels uncomfortable right now. And probably listeners are listening to us saying, are Steve and Jimmy okay? Are Steve and Jimmy okay? We're fine, folks. We're fine. It's a tough time in the market. It's not a time to be trivial. Neither one of us are. It's difficult. As I said on the show today, it is uncomfortable to invest right now. It is uncomfortable to answer the questions of why now. However, experience has taught me that that is exactly the time that you are supposed to invest. You can, and I will not decry Steve for this, you can wait for some certainty. You can wait for the uptrend to establish itself. God bless you. You'll be with me. We'll be fine. If I'm early, it's on a matter of weeks.
Once again, I'm not looking for certainty. We all have our different markers. As I said, I think the consumer, which is 70% of the economy, is going to slow down massively because already they're choosing between filling their cars and heating
their homes. Can I tell you why this is good, Steve? Can I tell you why this is good? It's going to get the people who retired, who resigned, back into the workforce. This was always the risk of the great resignation, of the people who said, and I know them and you know them, Steve, the people who said, well, I made so much money on the ARK Innovation Fund, I'm just going to retire on that. I can almost guarantee you those people didn't sell the ARK Innovation Fund up there. And now they're looking at the rise in prices and saying, all right, got to go back to work. That will help labor force participation rate. That will help put a lid on inflation.
Let's go to stocks, Jimmy, and I'll tell you a couple of moves I did. I sold most of my Cleveland Cliffs. A large part of it yesterday and some more today. I have a tag end left.
I'm not going to take issue with that. The stock was up exceptionally yesterday.
Yeah. And by the way, I just think that if people are still buying oil here and are also positive on the market, they're contradicting themselves because oil is up based upon expectations. Oil is staying at these levels, not up. It's up for good reason, but staying at these elevated levels because they believe that the conflict, I assume, in Ukraine, Russia is going to continue, and there are no alternate sources for energy, meaning in the U.S. right here. We're going to start pumping like crazy, more so than we have. I'd love to see Biden prohibit exports of energy from this country, and I'd love to see him really push, even though he pointed out that drilling is up 17% since he took over in his press conference. But that's conflict. So to me, Cliffs was up on the spike of the war and what's going on in Ukraine, whereas I see steel consumption slowing because of a slowing economy. So that's why I took profits off. And I think your price target at one point is 25, 26. It got there. It got there for reasons that none of us assumed would occur, but they did. So I took advantage of that. I think it'll pull back and we'll get another chance. The other thing I did is that Volkswagen selling at 4x earnings. 4x earnings. Let that sink in.
I hear you.
I add a little to that. I added a little to Porsche. In fairness, I had taken some off, so I put it back on. In terms of other things that I did, I mentioned them. Otherwise, I've been pretty quiet. I took off my XLF hedge first thing this morning, actually before the market opened, and took off my other hedges. I put some hedges on small just now when I said I did. So I'm a little more than 30% net long at this point, but not much.
So I hear you on Cliffs. By the way, referencing your 4x earnings on VW, Cliffs is 5x this year's earnings.
Different companies. One's a commodity company.
Oh my goodness. You're not going to tell me that VW is less cyclical than Cleveland Cliffs. Please don't.
Of course I'm going to tell you that.
All right. You know what? We'll come back to that in a second because I'd rather agree with you first and then I'll disagree with you. You are supposed to trim here. I didn't trim Cleveland Cliffs. There was a time, it was last year, where I had a $25 price target on it. I have a $35 price target on that. And I don't see volumes drying up, not with the amount of factory building, not with the amount of infrastructure spending. Just don't see the volume, the auto production. I don't see the volume drying up. And now you're seeing steel prices increase as a result of what's going on with Russia, Ukraine. But Steve, where I did trim, Transocean, RIG, had a similar move, actually more pronounced than Cleveland Cliffs. That one I trimmed today. I still own some position in it because I think that with what we're seeing, we're going to have to drill more in deep water. And by we, I mean the world overall. So all of these rigs that Transocean has had in cold stack. They're going to have to refurbish them to get them back into circulation, but they'll do that. And they're going to get day rates probably up towards the $400,000, $500,000 per day rate at which they're going to mint money. So I keep the position there, but I trimmed it because it went way too high, up about 80%. I mean, just over the last couple of months. Cleveland Cliffs, I see a lot more free cash flow coming there, so I'll stick with it. You do have to trim along the way. I agree with you.
Who knows where the mark goes? I truly don't know where the mark goes. I mean, obviously, nobody
does. Let me help
you.
It goes up.
Over time, it does. You're absolutely right. But again, we've talked about this many times. Your point of entry generally defines your return. You buy at tops, even though the mark goes up.
Actually, it's not true. That's not true. You know, our good friend, Bryn Talkington, she sent me something last weekend, and this is just factual. If you bought at the top in October of 2007, was it 2007? October of 2008, bought the S&P 500, you've tripled your money since then. That's over, what is that, 14 years, 15 years? You've tripled your money.
If you bought at the top in 2000, it took you almost a decade to get even on the NASDAQ.
And you've still got great returns.
The point is you can pick any time frame you want to justify your position. That's a beautiful thing about the market. Everybody can be right.
You can pick any time frame you want, but I was purposely picking one that's extraordinarily lousy. That's extraordinarily lousy timing to buy in October of 2008. It wasn't October 2008, it was 2007, excuse me,
yeah.
When the S&P 500 was at 1565. You had to wait a long time. That was lousy timing, but still tripled your money over the coming years. I hear you on 2000, but still, you know what the biggest detriment is?
What's that?
Investor behavior. Investor behavior of thinking they can time the markets, that they can get in and out at the right time. That's why for this correction, I only did 10% because there was a pretty good chance I was going to be wrong. So I don't want to do more than 10%.
I don't think I can time the market. Once again, I learn more from my mistakes than my wins. Mistakes, you really think over and think and think and think and beat yourself up. But when you say, hey, man, am I smart? And you move on. This market's made dummies out of all of us because we've all lost money. And despite my meager long exposure, I've gotten hit pretty big because of the beta in my portfolio. I mean, hell, I had GXO down 13% yesterday, and it's up almost 6% today. That's not recovered half the gain because of the mathematics of it. So it also depends on what the beta of your exposure is relative to the market. In other words, how it moves relative to a $1 move in the market. A 1-to-1 beta means it moves a dollar. I'm being overly simplistic. A 1.5 beta means that it moves 1.5 times as much as the market. So I've had some beta there. But look, Jim, we both agree that long-term, the market is going to be up. Always has been, always will be. The question is, what time frame is that? And part of what I was doing is I wanted to rebalance my portfolio. So I got rid of Skyworks. I got rid of Qorvo, companies I've liked, but just wanted to get rid of them because I don't think the consumer is going to be going out and buying tons of $1,000 phones despite Apple's new cheaper phone today. They just don't have it in their budget, even on a time pay plan. So those were my calls.
All right. Steve, maybe that's good for today. I don't know. It's a pretty tense time in the markets, tense time in the world. You and I are going at it pretty good, but we're doing it with a lot of the affection that we always have. They can't see us smiling at each other over the Zoom here. But I think we've given the people what our positions are. We are the odd couple of investing.
Yeah. You're also the only person I know, Jim. You've got that sloth behind you. You're the only one that could put a stuffed sloth doll to sleep. So there it is. Jim, look, another great episode. I think we've continued to mix it up with credibility and with honest thought. We're just the odd couple. We differ on so many things.
We'll be back next week with whatever the latest and greatest is. Certainly, we're both hoping that this conflict in Europe dies down. Just terrible. I'm not speaking from the stock market point of view, but stay tuned, folks. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week and stay tuned for next week. That's right. Take care, Jim.
You too, Steve.
Jim Labenthal is an investment advisor representative of Cerity Partners and holds the Chartered Financial Analyst designation. Jim Labenthal and Cerity Partners are unaffiliated with Stephen Weiss. The securities discussed in this podcast by Jim, unless otherwise stated to the contrary, are securities that Jim either manages within the current client portfolios or owned by Jim personally. You should not consider the information discussed as personalized investment, tax, or legal advice, or solicitation to buy or sell any specific security. There's no guarantee that views and opinions expressed in this podcast will come to pass or a guarantee of future performance. Investing involves risk, and before investing, you should consult a qualified professional advisor. Stephen Weiss is not a registered investment advisor and is not affiliated with any regulated entity. The views and opinions he expresses are his own and are not intended to be advice or recommendations. Stephen does not guarantee the accuracy of his statements or views. Investors should perform their own due diligence and not rely upon the information contained in this podcast as the sole basis for their investments.